Multi-platinum, no singles, no features. Now I'm recording this video. Today's Mother's Day. I'm recording this video because we're coming up on the cusp of a brand new J. Cole album. You know, he hasn't dropped an album in, when was KOD? That was the last actual album he dropped. He dropped a couple of singles. Other than those few singles, it's been, 3 years since KOD dropped? And I figured while we're on the cusp of this new album, I really haven't done any J. Cole because he hasn't come out with anything since I started doing my channel the way that I do it now. This channel wasn't even an idea or a figment of my imagination in my mind whenever 2014 Forest Hills Drive dropped. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna go back in time and give you an entire review of my thoughts when the album came out. I've been able to sit on this album for years at this point, multiple dozens and dozens and dozens of listens through, and this album is almost like the epitome of perfection that you could possibly get. I remember specifically what I was doing when this album had dropped, and that was my first time listening to it. I had just showed up at Gold's Gym. I was about to get a full-on workout in. I heard the very first song. I heard the intro, and from the intro, I knew that I wasn't going to be doing this workout. I was going to be sitting on the bench for an hour listening to this album. This is one of the few intros that I can listen to as an actual song. This is a whole new J. Cole that we might have caught glimpses of back in the past, like in previous albums, but this is a whole new introspective type of J. Cole who is now the artist that we know from here going forward, you know? Do you want it? Do you want to be? Free my dogs, you're free to go. Block is hot, the streets is cold. Learn to fly and reach the stars. You take the time to look behind and say, look where I came. Look how far I done came. Bro, just the intro, son. Like, the intro moved me in a way at this point in my life that I wasn't even ready for. I was like, and not really lost, but I was kind of like at this, like, I was kind of at like this fork in the road moment in my life, and I didn't know which direction, and either direction was a direction that I didn't want to go. Like, at this point, I believe I had dropped out of school already, college. I was just racking up college bills without really having any kind of structure or direction to a major that I wanted to go into, because I was passionate about the things that I had chose for majors, biology, architecture, those kind of things, but all of the other bullshit classes I wasn't passionate about, so that was hindering like my growth into my degree. It was this weird point, and I had a really good job at USAA when this album had dropped. I was so good at my job to the point that my job was boring, and to the point where people were like, yo, you need to, everybody here, all your teammates on your team know that you are better than them at their job, so can you at least be a little like more interested and engaged? It came so easy that I was disengaged from the team. I was very, you know, casual, sarcastic, and things like that, not to the point of being a dick, but to the point where, like, they knew that I had the confidence. In the same way that people get bothered by my confidence on camera for what I do, I know that I'm the best at doing this, but it rubs people the wrong way. And imagine being told, micromanaged like that, to the point where, you know, they're telling me I need to act a different way because of the way that other people were feeling. I had gotten to the highest point that I could get to at the position that I had without going into like managerial roles. And I'm like, is that what I really want to do? Really didn't have any kind of plan at that time. And in the moment that this intro comes through and was like, do you want to be happy? Take the time to look behind and look at where you came from. Look how far you done came. And that's when I was like, damn, son, I gotta chase something. I gotta do something. I mean, I can do this for the rest of my life, but I don't know if that's what I want to do. And this song right here was like the turning point for me and my mentality about what I was going to do, you know? So I'm sitting there getting physically moved, and I'm like, this is about to be a long ass gym session with like no gym progress. I'm just going to be listening to this album intently in the gym. And then the second song drops in with one of the more iconic J. Cole lines. The Vill is back, flow bananas here. Peel this back, and what you'll find is your highness could paint a picture that's vivid enough to cure blindness. Just to see my life on the stage in front of strangers who know a brother far too well, and that's the danger. Know me better than I know myself. It was this song right here. It was the combination of this track and then the intro when I was like, we got this new version of J. Cole that's more introspective, that's deeper, that's more than just about the radio money. Obviously, we got radio money on your debut hit. J.O. never put your album out without one, and dog, you know how come, because they formulaic with their outcomes. Like, that's Let Nas Down off of Illuminati, by the way. But not they, J. Cole was like, yo, this is my third full-length project. I'm going to produce the whole thing on my own, and it's just going to be all me because I got a story to tell. He's facing demons on the paper that he would never face in real life on his own. And we're seeing that. So we know him better than he knows himself. And then that's when I was like, yo, at this point, I feel like J. Cole had finally found his sound. He was trial and error trying to find like this mix between who he wanted to be as an artist and who he could, what he had to do to be commercially successful. And the only thing that was missing up until this point was storytelling J. Cole. But then track number 3 just killed the whole storytelling thing. She was in my math class, long hair, brown skin with a fat ass, thighs on her and them hips on her and them lips on her, got me daydreaming, man, what? She wrote a note that said, you ever had sex before? Damn. This is the epitome of storytelling in hip hop. And I'll say this, I'll defend myself to the grave that you cannot deny the fact that he is up there as one of the elite storytellers in all of rap. This blew everybody's mind because this is something that everybody's gone through. The initial like anxiety and nervousness of losing your virginity. Like it's an exciting and scary and it's a crazy feeling and it's something that sticks in your mind forever, you know? No me, ooh girl, don't stop. It's time for action. I wanna get something off my mental. I can tell you a pro, but baby be gentle cuz I ain't never did this before, no. Yo, such a crazy good song, bro. Anybody that's ever lost their virginity in high school has gone through this because it's awkward. It's an awkward ass time. And this just takes the cake with the awkwardness. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy good. And then on this next track, we stay in our storytelling bag, but it gets darker. It gets way darker and it gets way more like I'm trying to find who I am in this navigation of the hood, where Wet Dreams is just like something that's we've all gone through. It's awkward. It's fun. You know, it's a dope little story. This one right here is dark. Watch it from the side. On the bench, cause my lack of confidence won't let me fly. In a city where too many brothers die, dreaming quiet, trying to dodge a suicide. Who am I? Hey, who am I? It's just a story about like, I don't know who I am. Who am I really? I don't fit into the drug game. I don't have a father, so I don't fit into the nuclear family. I'm not a ball player, so I'm not pulling all the bitches that I wish that I could pull because I probably could if I didn't have this lack of self-confidence because it's probably stems from not having a father. So like, it's just the questioning mentality of this song. And this isn't even the storytelling part of the song. This is just laying the foundation for what's to come on the second verse about him talking to his homeboy who's like dealing drugs and he's got quick cash and he's on the come up and he thinks he wants that life, that J. Cole thinks he wants that life, but his homie's like, bruh, you sound like a clown. You about to go get your degree. You're on the platform to like launch off into success. My life is already plateaued. I wish that I could be in your shoes. How dumb are you to wish that you were in mine? And it's that moment of just like recognition when it snaps in his head and he's like, you know, it's not all great, but it definitely could be worse. What a brother gotta do to get that? Put me on. So how you looking up to me when I look up to you? Do you think that you would know what to do if you was me? One mother that don't love us. If they ain't want us, why the fuck they never wore rubbers? Me and show you that I can fly and show old girl what she missing. The illest nigga alive. And who am I? Just the amount of like wondering who you are. It's a really dark story. And I come from a place where that story is the same. I could easily fall in J. Cole's footsteps in this story. My life was not perfect per se, but it's much better than some of my peers and my friends. One of my closest friends was in jail for like mad long for a drive-by shooting, and he wasn't even the gunman. He was just in the car, but he was in jail. And it wasn't until multiple listens later when I realized that the album is a conceptual album and it's titled 2014 Forest Hills Drive, which was his address, which was his house, because the whole album is basically like him growing up trying to find who he was. And this was all these memories, everything that he's talking about in this album stem from that address. And what blew my mind even more as I was sitting there in the gym is like this right here, all produced by J. Cole. The samples are crazy. I mean, obviously he had co-producers and people helping him, but the sampling in this whole album is crazy. Listen to how eerie that is. Listen to how menacing that is. This sounds like shit's about to go down. Cause that's what happens in the song. Shit goes down.
Used to want a Pathfinder with some tints. Throw the 20s on that bitch and get it rinsed.
That line right there, bro. When you're from the hood, I used to want a Pathfinder with some tint, yo. Like, it's just that shit looked hard back in the day. That shit is like a dream come true for people, bro. I used to want a Pathfinder with some tints. That's all I need. Throw some 20-inch rims on that bitch and get it rinsed. Riding around clean, ooh. And that's one of those lines where you, if you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't. And what made this song hard about the hook is the cocking of the 9mm and then the beat dropping. And oh my God, I can hear it now.
They pulled up on my knee at the light. Ugh, nice watch, run it.
Bruh, song goes so fucking hard. At this point, I'm like, we're not even introspective now. We just rolling through the hood. This is what, like, if you could visualize, this song just has that level of tension that's always in the hood. At any point, shit can pop off. Crazy, bro. So I'm hyped right now, right? And when, like, in the gym, I'm hyped. I'm going. I start actually working out because this song got me, like, hype. I could tell that the chick in the daycare that's taking care of the kids in the front desk, they're like, finally, this motherfucker got up after 40. Let me do what I came to the gym to do, because it's clearly not just to listen to this J. Cole album. And then this beat drops, yo. Fire Squad beat. Remember when you heard that bitch for the first time? The beat dropped, right? And I'm making the stank face mid fucking bench press. I'm like, oh my fucking God, this beat goes
hard. Why you acting like a bitch? I am the latest, I am the bravest. Go toe to toe with the giant, cause niggas say they the one, and I got something to prove. Forgive me, Lord, here they come. Back.
If you didn't get hyped as fuck listening to this song, throw away all your music collection. Even if you don't like rap, if this didn't get you pumped up, bruh, I need me a bigger gun. In fact, I might need two, because people say that they're the one and I got something to prove. Forgive me, Lord, here they come. Like they're coming after my spot. Forgive me, Lord, because I'm about to murk everybody.
One day you'll have to decide who you gonna be. Like the new Ice Cube meets the new Ice-T, and a new Ice-T meets KD. Ain't no nigga that can shoot like me. Bah!
That might have been the hardest shit I had ever heard in that moment. Cole, you might be like the new Ice Cube meets new Ice-T meets 2 Live Crew. All these iconic ass rappers, you're throwing them up in a pot. Meets new Spike Lee meets Bruce Like Wayne meets Bruce Like Lee. I can come karate chop these motherfuckers, and I got bread like Bruce Wayne. Meets O2 Lil Wayne and the new Y-T motherfucker in his prime. Meets KD and nobody that can shoot like me. I'm the coldest out here with this shit. And not only that, not only are we like in our confidence bag, but we're also spitting game, bruh. At the end of that song, he's like, while silly dudes argue over who gonna snatch the crown, who's the best in the rap game, look around, bro. White people have snatched the sound. This year, I'll probably go to the awards dapper down, watch Iggy Azalea win a Grammy as I try to crack a smile. I'm just playing. It's just like that introspective, like, yo, let me spit some game to you while I'm telling you I'm the best at the same time. So then after we have the hypeness of like the basically the last three tracks back to back to back, you know, after Wet Dreams, which is a dope track on its own right, but like just the grittiness and the grime and the eeriness of all of the beats. And then we go into introspective, then we go into storytelling, and then we go like every single fucking page in the book that J. Cole could just throw at us. At that point, he has. I really didn't like this next song at the time, but after I listened to it, like the album through and through a couple of times, I was like, I get the song, but I also get the placement in the song, because this Saint Tropez is like a break in the hypeness and in the storytelling and the reality of what he's saying. It's like almost like a dreamlike state, like he's daydreaming about making it to the top.
I like to go to Saint Tropez. Maybe I'll go, maybe I'll stay.
You just hear like the dreaminess of the track, it's just floating.
He's on his way, he's about to get paid. He's on his way to Hollywood.
Like you're daydreaming, like in his mind, this song sounds like a daydream. This song sounds like in the middle of the hood, in the middle of dudes trying to run up on trucks to snatch watches, in the middle of, you know, him having lack of self-confidence, he's just letting himself go and letting him be free, letting his mind be free to wander wherever it's gonna wander. And he's insecure. He knows he has flaws that he's gonna make sure people are aware of, but that's still not gonna let him stop him from potentially living out his dream.
And from the door, I showed you my scars, and I told you, girl, I won't lie. If we at war, then this is a war that I can't afford. So I
in the corner of my eye. Baby, it's been hard for me to fly. These scars and this emotional baggage that comes with me, like, this is weighed down my mental state for so long, it's been hard for me to fly. I'm literally chained to the ground by all my, like, lack of self-confidence. But I'm still gonna dream about the flight. I'm still gonna dream about getting there, you know? So good, bro. So good. Not just, like, the song itself, but, like, the placement of the song. Like, you can listen to that song on its own, but it doesn't have the same impact as it does whenever you're listening through the, like, eyes of the story that he's telling in the conceptual nature of the album. It's like that perfect break between we're really in our feels, lack of self-confidence, we're in the hood, we got to be on our toes at all times, and then boom, this dreamlike break, and then we get into like one of the hardest beats on GOMD. This sample is crazy, bro. The way they make it sound, and he puts the crickets on top, it almost sounds like a slave, what are they called? Slave song? Hollywood Code! Go. And in this song, we start getting like, we're getting our confidence back. We're getting our swagger back. But the beat still sounds a little menacing with like the violins and the cellos that are like really low pitch. I put my city on the map and let me tell you about it. Hands up. Everybody run, Cole outside and he say he got a gun. Niggas like, man, that's what everybody said. Go and pop the trunk and everybody did. Just like in his bag with the flow, bruh. Just like the confidence, you can hear it finally build in this track. Like he knows that he's, like the pen game is crazy in this song and it's extremely confident. The flow is faster paced. The flow switches up multiple times. It's like you have to have a level of confidence and arrogance to even pull this track off in the way that he does right here. And just the sample of like the sample that's used in the background and then to the window, to the walls, talking about how like there's no emotion in music so much anymore. All these people care about is the club music and he just wants to go back to I just want to go back to simpler times. I want to go back to Jermaine, and I don't tell nobody. This is the part that the thugs skip. Young, never had love, getting a foot massage, back rub, shit, blowing bubbles in the bathtub, shit. Now he's pulling bitches, but he found the one, he found the girl that is the one, but now that he's pulling all these bitches, that don't matter, he's gonna fuck that up, because now he's getting something that he's wanted from the very beginning, because now he is that ball player, star player, still, you know, like, I'm no longer with the lack of confidence that won't let him fly. The whole album switches after Saint-Tropez into a better, more confident sounding version of him. And then we get into the next track, which is arguably one of the most iconic rap lines of all time on this track right here. And you know exactly the motherfucker I'm talking about. It's the first thing that he says on the song. First things first, rest in peace, Uncle Phil. You the only father that I ever knew. I get my bitch pregnant, I'ma be a better you. That line right there, bruh. You don't know how many people that have no father figures in their life. Uncle Phil was their father figure. They saw themselves as Will Smith in the show, and they saw how he treated him like a son. That's why he's like, bro, I ain't got no father figure to even say that I'm gonna be just like you or a better version of you. The only father figure that I have is Uncle Phil from the fake TV show Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So he's like, yo, first things first, out of everything, gotta pay our respects to Uncle Phil, who raised so many young black men who don't have, not even just black men, young men that watch the show that never had a father figure. First things first, rest in peace, our dad. You the only father that I ever knew. I get my bitch pregnant, I'ma be a better version of you. Crazy, bro. No real models to speak of, searching through my memory. Think I'm spoiled and I'm rich cause I can have any bitch. But then I thought back when you could get a platinum plaque without no melody, you wouldn't swear me. Just the lack of awareness on this song compared to the complete awareness on the first half of the album when he's talking about, I don't have any self-confidence, I won't let myself fly, this bitch won't never want to be with someone like me, she likes ball players and star players, I'm not that guy, to right here when she gets mad because she knows that he could have whoever, and he's like, nah, I was the same without all the money and without the fame. Then I thought back to a better me, which was the first part of the album. Back in the day, you wasn't even sweating me. You weren't anybody. You weren't showing me no love like that. So I'm still hyped at this point, right? I'm still in the gym. I'm barely like a third of my way through the workout. I've been in this bitch for an hour and a half already. I haven't even started shit because I just been vibing the whole time. And then I get hit with this next song. You have no idea how it broke me down in the gym. I completely was not ready for this bitch because we had gotten nothing but hypeness for the first entire part of the song. We ain't got nothing that was this introspective, that there was, hello, that there was this sad.
Hello.
The first lines of this song, yo. I cried on this bitch. I sat there and tears out of my face because of what he's talking about in this song, yo.
And I thought about you today, and I thought about the things we did, and I thought about your newest kid. Damn, that makes two now. Oh, what do I do now?
One of my longest relationships was in, like, it was like one of those where we know we should be together, but we're not. But like, I'm going to wait until you're ready, and you're going to wait until your life settles down. And anybody that you're with at the time, go for it. You know, do what you got to do. Live it up. We know that we should have been together at this point already. And then she goes and has another kid. This album came out maybe 2 months after that had happened. And I was completely not ready for what he's saying right here about how we were meant to be together forever. And I thought about the things that we did. But then after I got done reminiscing on the very angelic and heavenly perfect relationship, I thought about the new little kid. And damn, that makes two now. I thought in my mind that you were the one. And I thought in your mind, I was the one as well. So I didn't think you would ever go and do this. So now what do I do? Because if we got together, I'd have to be not the first ones, but the second one step pop forever too. And I wasn't ready for that second one. And the way he says, and boy, that ain't my thing, because I don't even got my own. He's probably talking about, I don't really got my own father figure, so I don't even know how to be a stepfather for, well, not just one, but two kids. But in my mind, it was like, I don't know if I can do the two kids because I don't even have one kid of my own. Like, are you going to be wanting to have another child, or did you strike that box? Because now you have two, and then that leaves me with nothing. And I don't really have no home, no place to, I got an apartment. I know my parents' house, always gonna be home, but I don't really got my own, like, this is my house. I just was floating between apartments at that time. Yo, when I had heard that, workout stopped, cried. Because I was like, who knows about how this feels? Who knows about this feeling? I had never told anybody about it because I didn't think anybody would understand. And then here comes J. Cole right here saying, damn, it makes two now. Oh, what do I do now? Because if we ever got together, I'd have to be that little step pops forever. And boy, that ain't my thing, cause I ain't even got my own. And I ain't really got no home. No place to put these things I own. And I thought about the things we used to say. And I thought about the games we used to play. And I thought about that little kid. And I thought about the things we did. I always knew that we would be together. But I don't wanna wait forever. No, I don't wanna wait forever. It's like, to this day, this song gets me emotional because it's like, how long would I have waited if I never called it off? Was she about it in the way that she says she was? Or would I still be waiting to this day, 10 years later, because I'm a dumbass and thinking that, you know, this person's going to give me more. They're going to give me what they said they were going to give me, but they're only talking the talk. They're never going to walk the walk. But I want to believe it enough that I'm still going to wait around. You know, how long was I going to be on that for? That one right there, yo. That one broke me. It's not even, I mean, obviously it's a sad song, but I think it had the emotional impact that it did at the time because of, it was something that I was so not ready for from this album. The way the entire album was shaping out to be, it was nothing like this. This song right here almost is like, it's almost like a detour from what the album's concept was. It just came out of nowhere, but it makes sense in the fact that he's been introspective about the things that have shaped him. And this is obviously a defining moment in his life, you know? And it's just crazy that somebody was able to come and articulate that in a song, what I had been feeling at that time. And then we finally get to the last song. There's always Note to Self, but I don't really consider that a song. It's kind of like just the outro. It's kind of him giving his thank yous. Apparently hits me in the way that it does. And it makes sense as the last song in the album because it's still very introspective, but it's nowhere near as dark as the rest of the album. You can hear the upswing in the tempo, in the sound of the song, in the lyrics. There's still a lot of looking inside of himself and still holding some of these burdens, but he can tell that, you know, we're getting to where we need to be, and I wouldn't be who I am without these burdens, basically. That type of vibe. The type of vibe is like, I don't know why God chose me when I've been a sinner my entire life. I don't know why he chose me for this life, but apparently he believes in me for something.
I don't know why you call on me. This is my canvas. I'ma paint it how I want it, baby. Oh, I think back to Forest Hills, but the only thing like home I've ever known until they snatched it from my mama and foreclosed her on her loan. I'm so sorry that I left you there to deal with that alone. I was up in New York City chasing panties, getting domed. Had no clue what you was going through. How could you be so strong?
Just the lyrics that he's saying, yo, like, I'm a fuck up is basically what he's saying. There's people that love me in my life that I've hurt in so many ways, either by his girl, by cheating on her with these bitches on tour, or with his mom, like not being there for her while he was out there just chasing panties, like living it up in New York and like not even giving a fuck about what's happening back home. Like he's basically saying like, I'm a fuck up, but I'm trying to do better. And apparently God believes in me for some reason. Because he keeps giving me these chances.
I don't know why you call on me. Apparently, you believe in me. Another day, another rhyme, ho. Another day, another time zone. Today I woke up feeling horny, so it's only right. I got two bitches playing on my trombone. Off, I'm taking off like Boeing and a big ass Boeing. Getting head like a coin toss, too easy. I got my wings to carry me.
Yo, just like the way that the entire album wraps up with this song of confidence. When before, like literally in the song, which it was the third song in 03 Adolescence, when he's talking about how my lack of confidence like is so strong, it won't allow me to fly. Like we go from that line to ending the song on talking about how he's big enough to fly now. Like he's able to spread his wings. He's coming into the artist that he knows that he wanted to be and that we know he was capable of being. And just the flow confidence in that last verse when he's like spitting fast, another day, another rhyme, ho, another day, another time zone. Today I woke up feeling holy, so it's only right. I got two bitches playing on my trunk. Like that whole like flow, it's a confident delivery. When the entire album before was about his lack of confidence and trying to find himself in his adolescent years. And then we ended on that. And we ended with the self-realization that I'm not perfect, but I'm still here. I know that God believes in me for some reason, and we just gonna ride this thing out, bro. We're gonna see this train all the way to the station. And that's crazy, bro. The album, and this is something that's crazy about the album, is that for those that don't know, I watch a lot of Sean C on YouTube. He said that KOD is probably his best album, where most people are going to say that this album, 2014 Forest Hills Drive, is the best album. And I agree with him in the sense that KOD is a fully fleshed out concept. There's just something about KOD that a lot of people are not going to give credit for being the best album because this one exists. And the only thing that I can think of to put it into like perspective for people, like if we're talking about Drake's discography, this album right here is Take Care. But if you're reading this, it's Too Late is probably Drake's best album, but it's not going to get that credit because Take Care exists. So in the same way that KOD is probably J. Cole's strongest album in terms of rapping, in terms of production, the storyline, the concept, the conceptual nature, it's probably his overall best album. But this album is Take Care for J. Cole. This is the one that most people are going to see as his best album, and they should, because it's damn near a perfect album. There's a reason why it's platinum with no singles. A reason why it's platinum with no features. Crazy, yo. But I appreciate everybody that made it this far. I'm hyped for his new album that's coming up. I think it's, what, like in 4 days, 6 days at this point? I'm super excited. I wanted to get this out there so we can kind of show some J. Cole love before the album drops. You know, we'll see where the album takes us. But I appreciate everybody. Like I always say at the end of all of my videos, go out there in the world, love and care for one another, love and care for each other, and I'll catch everybody on the next video. Peace.